any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Greetings, I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepherd. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app on a hump day Wednesday. We'll get all the latest breaking news around the NFL. Pete Shepherd has dug up bowl projections. We'll see how high my mighty Indiana Hoosiers are. Probably a January 1 bowl is my guess. We'll have that and got Wikipedia later on this hour.
Yep.
Plus more nuggets. So a lot going on.
Yeah, we do.
And a great toilet paper shortage already in Southwest Florida due to second wave of COVID. Thank you, everybody.
By the way, if you have a football team, doesn't matter. Call Coach Steve Adazio of Colorado State. He says he's open to playing Colorado this weekend, too. He said, we want to play football. I just want to try and keep developing our football team as long as the conferences agree.
So the Pac-12 actually changed their ruling last night. This morning that they can go out and schedule non-conference opponents.
Yep.
All right.
I'd imagine that they have to be placed in the same protocols as the Pac-12 would make you follow,
right.
But I don't know that for sure. Well, and now we're talking – well – you look out west, and you know who's the team out there that people are starting to talk about for college football playoff stuff? BYU. Can you imagine if a USC or an Oregon has a game canceled and they're able to schedule something quickly with the Cougs?
Yeah,
that'd be an awesome matchup.
That would be,
and it'd be
good.
A great way for them to kind of plant their flag and go, no, we're for real, we're legit.
Yeah.
The problem was with the protocol. That's why we didn't have a lot of cross conference games, though. Everybody had different policies, like. And they wanted to make sure the testing was the same because it wasn't at some schools. Remember, when we first started, some of the smaller schools were testing once a week, and the big boys were doing it like every other day.
And if Ohio State only has 5 games, they will do exactly what the Pac-12 is doing. You watch. There'll be some exception to the rule if that does indeed happen.
Yeah, you're probably right. Well, Ohio State's got enough on their plate right now trying to get by this Saturday against the mighty Hoosiers. All right. We'll get to all that more in just a minute. Time now for we still got to do a Mandalorian update, too.
Yep.
Time for a SportsCenter rundown. This is the latest one of the day. It's 7 minutes past the hour. Here's Chris.
All right. Nearly the entire Raiders starting defense is going on the COVID-19 list because of high-risk close contacts. If each player continues to test negative, they will be eligible to play Sunday night against the Kansas City Chiefs. Robinson Cano tested positive for a PED. It's called Stanzolol. He's suspended for the entire 2021 season. He won't collect any of his $24 million either. And the New York Knicks, they've moved up to number 23 in the draft, exchanging number 27 and 38 with
the
Yaz.
And it's amazing they're in the playoff hunt. Offensive gets screwed.
Well, they have the whole offensive line on quarantine.
Now they have the whole defensive line, basically.
Wow.
Wow, the offensive line was quarantined in week 7, and now you have week 11 here with the defense. Wow. And then you're not practicing this week, and you're going to play the top offense in the league coming up, or one of them.
With a vengeance because of the bus joyride, they're going to want to stick it to them.
Yep.
That should be fun.
Yeah, and they will.
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Unless it's a blizzard.
You don't think so?
It's in Vegas. I doubt snow's in the forecast.
Oh, that's right. This is in Vegas. First, that's even better for Kansas City.
Vegas, yeah.
Weather would be better.
That
more than likely.
Fast turf.
Tua Tagovailoa, by the way, has a foot injury, but he was a full participant today for the Dolphins.
He's a gamer. Guy doesn't get hurt.
No, he's overcompensating.
And Antonio Callaway moving from the practice squad to the 53-man roster from Miami.
Ooh, I've been waiting for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Been waiting for that one. They got kind of 3 guys hanging out there in the wide receiver room. I think they'll move on from one of them in the offseason.
Yeah.
You got, who did you just mention? Came over from Cleveland. You just met Callaway. You got Perry, who they drafted, who they like to use on special teams and stuff. And then, remember, they picked up Lynn Bowden Jr. The Raiders cut him because they thought he was a distraction for the other rookies.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to kind of move forward with 2 of them, and they'll move on from the other one.
I see the Chiefs signed DeAndre Baker to the practice squad, I guess, since the armed robbery charges were all dropped 2 days ago.
That's a wild story.
Yeah, because the attorney was took bribes.
He was
or extortion, whatever.
Extortion. Yeah.
Try to pay off.
Basically, you give each one of my clients what was it $240,000, and we'll stop. Yeah.
Nice. Not nice.
Belgium scored again.
Okay.
They're up 3-1.
Good times. Against who?
Norway.
You don't even know, and you're looking at it right now.
The score's not up. Oh, I think it's Norway.
There's not a lot of scoring to keep track of in soccer.
It's 3-1, Craig. It's been 4 goals in 60-some-odd minutes.
That's practically a blowout. Okay.
So you want to do Breckman Murphy's
college? Yeah, bold projections here.
Okay. So we'll start with the championship scenario here. Then let me explain.
Denmark.
So January 10th. He's got a projection of Alabama versus Ohio State in the championship. The semifinals, he's got Alabama versus Clemson at 1-4 and Ohio State versus Oregon 2-3. Now, he's basing that on Clemson winning over Notre Dame in the ACC title game and Oregon going 7-0 as Pac-12 champs. Mm-hmm. He says if Clemson loses to Notre Dame a second time, the Irish would be in the playoff. And if Oregon isn't undefeated, it opens the door for, he said, a variety of possibilities.
Okay.
So, but that's what he's going on. Banking on now is Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oregon, and then Alabama, Ohio State for the national championship.
All right.
New Year's 6 bowls.
Here we go.
Orange Bowl projected. Notre Dame versus Florida.
Oh, give me that.
That'd be pretty solid.
Oh, give me that.
And if Clemson, it could be, and I'm going to assume it could be Clemson versus Florida if Clemson should lose again the second time and be out.
Yes.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Fiesta Bowl, just missing a shot at the national championship. USC versus Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin would clobber them.
Oh, I'm thinking, what about the Rose Bowl? But the Rose Bowl's a semifinal this year.
Semifinal. Okay. Yeah. That's the Fiesta Bowl, January 2nd. At Peach Bowl. Which is a shame that one of those two teams aren't in his final. There could be some chaos here. But BYU versus Cincinnati.
Natty.
I don't want to see that.
You don't want to see Cincinnati?
No, I want to see it against other schools.
No, I want to see Cincinnati against USC.
Or
I want to see
BYU Florida.
Yeah,
something
I want to
like
see
that
game.
I agree. And hopefully that'll be the case because that's where you get better feel. Cotton Bowl, December 30th. Oklahoma State versus Texas A&M.
Yeah.
So, Indiana, you don't make it.
That's ridiculous.
Other bowls. Alamo Bowl, Iowa State versus Washington. Arizona Bowl, Central Michigan. The Chippewas versus Fresno State. The Armed Forces Bowl, Houston versus TCU. Birmingham Bowl, UCF versus Missouri. Boca Raton Bowl.
UCF getting another SEC opponent.
Yep. Boca Raton playing Memphis versus FAU. Camellia Bowl, Buffalo versus App State.
Buffalo kill
Cheez App State. Cheez-It Bowl.
Yeah, probably this year.
App State's not great.
Cheez-It Bowl, I don't mind this one, although I think we'll see. Miami could be in a better one, but Miami versus Oklahoma, that would be very entertaining.
I'm all for Miami versus Oklahoma.
That'd be for it. Citrus Bowl, Georgia versus Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
In the Citrus Bowl.
That would be delightful. Is that a January 2 or what is
it? I don't know the date.
No, that's a late December. Citrus Bowl is like the 29th generally. You know what? I can look it up.
Cura Bowl, Louisiana Tech versus Troy. Duke's Mayo Bowl, NC State versus Iowa. First Responder Bowl, Pitt, Tulsa. Frisco Bowl, SMU, Tennessee, San Antonio. Gasparilla Bowl, Virginia, Ole Miss. That's an interesting game. Gator Bowl, North Carolina versus Auburn.
That'd be a fun game.
Yep.
A lot of points scored.
Yep. Yeah. Nebraska, West Virginia, the Potato Bowl in Idaho, Nevada versus Toledo.
Is it really called the Potato Bowl?
Yeah, the Idaho Potato Bowl.
Of course it is.
Bowl.
It's been around forever. Yeah. It's an institution.
Independence Bowl, Army versus Arizona State. Lending Tree Bowl, Western Michigan versus Georgia Southern. Mm. Liberty Bowl, Texas versus Arkansas. Los Angeles Bowl. Utah versus Boise State.
Utah! Oh, they're going to play in that new SoFi stadium,
I think so. Military Bowl, Wake versus Navy. Montgomery Bowl, Liberty versus UAB. Liberty should be in a much better bowl than that. Music City Bowl, Purdue versus Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Myrtle Beach Bowl, Marshall versus Coastal Carolina. New Mexico Bowl, San Jose State versus Kent State. New Orleans Bowl, Charlotte versus Louisiana. If Louisiana ever gets to play again.
Did you say Indiana was in the Citrus Bowl?
Yeah,
against Georgia.
Against Georgia.
It's a January 1 game.
Ah.
Just as I predicted.
It's just not a New Year's.
But what does a 38-point loss on Saturday do to that projection? You have done the impossible, Craig Sheeman. You have turned an Alabama football fan into an Ohio State football fan this weekend.
Why?
Excellent. Because why? I can't deal with another. Win this game.
But Pete backs me up, but you root against me.
Yes. I'm backing you up because yes. I want chaos, because it is going to be hysterical if you ever pull this off.
I want you
what
to notice
going to do.
I have not selected Indiana in a single pigskin pick game this year.
And you've lost every one of them.
And I don't want to tip my hand, but that trend will continue on Friday.
Had you picked wisely, as I have, with the Hoosiers, you would have a more comfortable lead in first place of the pigskin picks.
You know what, Craig? When you're in first, you can have a few throwaway games. You don't have to waste the bullpen just to win every single game. Yeah. Where's the fun in blowing you two yahoos and an inanimate object out of the water? I like to keep things close and entertaining.
I don't care about this.
I think we should root for each other instead of being so negative all the time. I think you should be rooting for the Hoosiers.
I hope you go 0-7 this week, Craig. That's me rooting for you.
And the pigskin picks?
And the pigskin picks.
Outback Bowl, Northwestern Kentucky, a few more. Pinstripe Bowl, Virginia Tech and Maryland, Boston College, Colorado, and the Sun Bowl, and the Texas Bowl, K-State and LSU. Hmm. But again, that could change.
Anybody have any scarlet and gray I could borrow for this Saturday at noon?
You know, you wouldn't even watch that game.
I can't wait to
I'll bet you haven't watched one snap of Indiana football. I think you thumb your nose at
it. Oh, that's absolutely not true.
The most pathetic I watched every snap of IU football.
I watched a majority of the Penn State.
No, that's a lie, because you went head-to-head against Miami last weekend. Time-wise.
Oh, that's a great
No, but
Miami's had a lot of noon games.
No, I did, but I had it up there.
Oh, okay.
I had the IU game on my phone, and okay. I had Miami on TV.
I'll allow for that. Okay,
fine. I'll be watching games this weekend. In that window?
Nooner.
I mean, the noon window, you've got IU at Ohio State, Florida at Vandy, Clemson at Florida State. I'll probably be flipping over to that until it's, 30 points or whatever.
LSU, Arkansas. I mean, maybe
it's
a
bunch of.
It will not hit 30 points.
Clemson. Oh, Coastal Carolina plays. They host App State.
Clemson going to clobber Florida State.
Probably.
I don't know by 30. I don't know about by 35.5, but
I'll take the points.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would take Florida State with the points too.
Grouper says, my wife is a huge Ohio State fan. I got more Ohio State swag at my house than you could possibly wear. Problem is, I'm a Gators fan.
Yeah. Nice. Wisconsin-Northwestern, that big game.
By the way, I would kill to have my wife 3-3. Be a diehard something fan. I told her once, I said, just pick a sport. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's just one.
Good. Pick the Red Wings. I hope she gets some hockey. Then you watch hockey.
You know, I would love it. I would love it, Pete. It would probably get me watching even more hockey.
Yeah, I'm lucky because my wife loves sports, so I'm very lucky that way.
My wife hates them.
Wisconsin Northwestern 3:30 on ABC. That should be a good game.
My wife's come around to the fact that I have to watch football, though. She
for
gets
your job.
She gets really upset when I say I have to watch the MAC.
Yeah.
She doesn't buy that.
She's not buying that. She knows that's second-tier football.
She does not buy it. She asked if they were high schools the other night.
That's the greatest conference in the world. How about even the Blizzard last night?
It's not the greatest conference in the world.
No, but what they've done carving out the Tuesday night schedule is a marketing.
Genius. I'll rephrase. It's the greatest midweek conference in the world. Tuesday and Wednesday football.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I won't argue with that.
I mean, they've done a spectacular job
and I think it's
promoting
good.
The MAC.
Yeah.
It should permanently be Tuesdays and Wednesday nights.
See, I firmly laid down the groundwork decades ago in my household that football has basically paid for everything that we own.
Yeah.
me watching it and talking about it or broadcasting it over the years. And so that fight has been battled and won. I don't get any resistance, and I'm allowed to watch football in peace.
How about a dangling carrot at 4 o'clock on SEC Network on Saturday?
What do you got?
Alabama minus 30 over Kentucky.
Love the Wildcats plus the 30 points.
I do, too.
I really do. Alabama's run defense has not been good this year. Kentucky cannot do a lot. Kentucky can run the ball.
Yeah.
I think that they can keep that close.
And they might be a little sluggish. I haven't played since Halloween.
Right. I actually, looking, I will not be on that game, but if I were to pick a side, I'd pick Kentucky in that game.
That's a good super teaser for me. Get 13 points and make Kentucky plus 43.
Yeah.
That's tough to not take that.
The bus has texted in. My wife did the old baton switch, telling me she really liked watching football, and now she never watches football. Got married and quit watching the football.
That's fine.
Patriots hate. No, it's not fine. That's a false sale bill of goods.
False narrative.
Patriots hater number one. My hubby loves sports, and the best thing about it, we both like the Yankees, even though he's from Boston, but he still follows the Celtics and the Bruins, and he's a Steelers fan. See? Sounds like a lovely marriage.
Sounds convoluted.
It does.
Oh, look.
You're all over the place.
They're covered everything. Yeah. I told you, I've told my wife years ago, and I gave up. I said, just root for one. Pick one. I don't care if it's a college. I don't care if it's Indiana basketball. I don't care if it's NFL football. Pick a team. It doesn't have to be the Lions. Why would I put somebody else through that misery? Whatever.
Excellent point.
Pick something. And she just refused.
Historically, Alabama has 29 straight wins over SEC East opponents, 6 in a row against the Wildcats. Guess what their record is all time against the Wildcats in 40 games?
39-1.
Chris?
38-2.
You're both close. 37-2-1.
Okay.
That's really splitting a hair there.
I believe the last loss for Alabama to an SEC East opponent was, I think it was South Carolina.
Yeah.
With Steven Garcia and
Muschamp wasn't there then.
No. This was the old ball coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's the receiver? That's Alshon Jeffrey.
Wow.
I think Stephen Gilmore was on, or Stephon Gilmore was on that team.
Yeah.
Well, Muschamp doesn't have to worry about that anymore. Of course, he's collecting $21 million plus from Florida and South Carolina, so he can just.
Is he still being paid by Florida? How many years has
he been
gone?
I think he'd be a great analyst. I could absolutely see him. I'm sure he still wants to coach and whatever, but does he get. I'm trying to think. I don't think he's going to get an SEC job. I think guys like Hugh Freeze and if Fleck and Fickell want jobs in the SEC, if something becomes available, if they don't take the Michigan job.
I agree with you. You're 0-2 in the SEC. I mean, he may still get a Power 5.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But he ain't coming back to the SEC.
Oh, I think he'll be in the SEC next year.
As a head coach?
Nope.
Oh, as an offensive coordinator?
Nope.
Analyst on SEC Network?
Nope.
TV?
Defensive analyst at Alabama.
Oh.
It's where every head coach needs to go to rehabilitate their career. I'm telling you, this time next year,
I don't argue with
Steve Sarkisian is going to be the hottest name in college football. I don't know why he's not right now, to be honest.
Well, so is Fleck and Fickell. And no one else is going to be. Lashley, offense coordinator for Miami.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Muschamp is brought on before the end of
the
season.
By the end of the year?
Yeah.
No, it's a great
before
move.
Before the bowl game or something.
It's a great move for just a recently fired coach to do.
I think he would be a really good, and I'm sure he still wants to coach, but I could see him becoming a very good analyst. He's got that personality.
And for as crazy as he looks on the sidelines, you talk to anybody who knows him off the field.
Yeah.
So he's one of the sweetest men that you'd ever meet.
You watch
just a
shows,
really nice guy.
The shows that they have, SEC Live, SEC Now, that come on during the week, and they sit down with a different coach every week and go through the film and everything. I've seen several times with Muschamp. He's great. I mean, fantastic breaking down film. And
has he ever done the national championship game, the coach's film room?
Oh, I don't know. He'd be perfect.
No, they always do those simulcasts.
Yeah.
Thought I remember seeing him do it.
But Chris is right. Alabama's got the greatest coaching intern program. And you just bring a millionaire in. He doesn't need to make any money. He just wants to learn from Saban, get touches Saban, and boom.
It's it's coaching rehab. That's what he's turned Alabama into.
It's a 12-step program. 12 wins. 12 wins get you back to the SEC.
That's how Lane Kiffin was brought on. That's how Sarkisian was brought on. You look at all the guys. Like, you either get into Alabama that way or you start the way like a Mike Locksley started. And you work your way up from a recruiter.
But the great part of this is these guys are already millionaires, so they don't have to pay. Bills are paid. They don't have any stress. I mean, Lane Kiffin started backwards. I mean, he was like coming out of the womb. He was a head coach of the NFL and then worked his way to crappier jobs along the way, right?
Yeah.
he's always had money. Do whatever he wants.
Did you see him this weekend? He did one of his Lane Kiffins.
The two arms up before the pass was even thrown because he saw the wide receiver wide open?
Did you see how high he threw the clipboard?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Craig, I'm not kidding. He frisbeed his clipboard straight up in the air. It must have gone 60 feet in the
easily.
Air.
Easily. I saw it on Twitter.
A nasty cut on somebody's head.
I think I retweeted it, but at first I thought it was a joke when I saw it, and I went, oop.
Wouldn't that be funny if it landed on the field and he got a 15-yard penalty, called the touchdown back?
But he's done that before.
He did it for Alabama in a national championship game. It was O.J. Howard. He had his arms up before the ball was snapped. He's great for college football. He just needs a defense. They'll be fine.
Yeah. Very good. Lifelong Buckeye says, I'll never forget when an ex-girlfriend said, wait a minute, you watch football on Saturday and Sunday? Yeah, that's how it works. All right, coming up, we got to get into Mandalorian. I've been teasing this for 3 days. We got some questions. Going to discuss. We got Wikipedia coming up around the corner. And speaking of college football, the Florida Gators are on the road this weekend in Nashville taking on Vanderbilt. Coverage starts at 11 o'clock, kickoff at noon. Florida Gators always on 99.3 ESPN, brought to you by the Wilbur Smith Law Firm. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepard. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN. And the 99.3 ESPN app on a hump day Wednesday. Coming up before the end of the hour, another edition of Wikipedia. We're talking a lot of football here today. Don't forget the NBA draft is tonight. On to more important things now. It's Wednesday already. We haven't talked about last Friday's episode of Mandalorian. That was episode 3.
I was hoping we'd find out who the Jedi is. And I'm wondering if it's going to be somebody we are familiar with.
Mm. So this past episode, Mandalorian got in a little bit of trouble, and all of a sudden three people wearing Mandalorian outfits but they were not Mandalorians.
No, but
he's really got a hang up about other people with the Mandalorian equipment.
Well, they bailed his butt out twice.
Saved
his life twice. And the woman, I forget her name or character name, but she says she's going to rule Mandalorian or whatever it is. What's the planet she's going to?
Mandalore.
Mandalore, is that what it is? I forget. But they were supposed to take Baby Yoda to the Jedi, to meet a Jedi, and him, and the Mandalorian. But
Now
they're on their way. Now they're on their way to this planet, because the frog people, after delivering the babies.
My theory was incorrect about that, that Baby Yoda was...
I thought it was a good theory. I ran it by my wife. She said, that's a good theory.
Incubating the eggs instead of eating them. He really was eating them.
By the way, there was an outrage. Actually, my wife brought that up. She goes, she read me a story. There was an outrage online of quote unquote like child abuse when Baby Yoda was eating the frog eggs.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You had a bunch of Karens out there and a bunch of wackos saying it was abuse, and why did they show that? And
it's not abuse. It's delicious.
Is it any different than when I have scrambled eggs for breakfast in the morning?
Just people have nothing better to do with their pathetic, miserable little lives except to, try to stir the pot when there's nothing to stir.
How about people who consume the placenta, huh?
Oh. Right.
Like, that's a real thing.
I know. We did not participate in that ritual.
No.
All right. So here's the biggest problem I see as a parent who my kids used to be small, obviously, and did the double strollers through airports and everything. Baby Yoda's little cruiser mobile got destroyed.
That was something when the big fish came up and swallowed it. Yeah. Whatever the creature, that was unexpected. I did not see that. I jumped.
I didn't trust those guys that do these, on the ship.
Do these large creatures not chew their food, or are they just swallowing everything whole? Because if they are, the teeth are an unnecessary
Well, it was creature. The little bubble was crushed. Oh, here's – now, this is really geekiness. Bigger and McCracken. Uh-huh. As Cora to know to Gruta female was the Padawan learner to Anakin Skywalker – and a hero of the Clone Wars. Alongside Anakin, she grew up from headstrong student into a mature leader, but her destiny laid along a different path in the Jedi. Okay. See, I have a feeling Clone Wars is going to probably come into this somewhere along, which I have only seen a couple episodes. I haven't. Mm. And that's the bridge timeline in between.
All right. I need something to happen in episode 4. It seems like we've just got these three individual story so far. I'd be criticized for this.
What do you mean individual stories?
It's moving a little slow for
Nothing's
me.
Are you ever crazy? Good enough for Craig.
I want to get
First of all, they're
going
only half-hour shows. Let's get that.
I know.
They're like 45 minutes this year.
Last one was 29, I think. 30
oh, was
minutes.
It?
Yeah.
First few were 40.
Yeah, by the time the opening credits rolled, it was over.
Okay, so the Jedi is Akosha. She is Anakin Skywalker's Padawan. Everybody's saying that. And Anakin being Darth Vader. Yeah. But, okay.
All right.
But was she Anakin Skywalker's Padawan? So it was Darth Vader's Padawan then. Because Anakin Skywalker never had a Padawan.
He killed the Padawan.
He killed them all. He killed all the kids in Revenge of the Sith. So I'm confused a little bit still with the timeline of this whole thing. I know they said it happened after the second Death Star.
Death Star blew up.
Yeah.
That's happened.
Right.
All right. So are we past... we passed the last three Star Wars movies too?
No. We're between them.
Between
the last
Return
three?
Of the Jedi and the last trilogy.
The Force Awakens.
Okay, The Force Awakens. Okay, gotcha. Well, if that's the case then... Yeah, because Anakin did not have a Padawan in the... and even in the Clone Wars, I don't think. How could he?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, it's interesting. Right. So you're upset.
Anakin did have a Padawan.
Ray says he did have one in the Clone Wars. All right.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, then that's okay.
Upset's too strong a word. I'm enjoying them. I would like to move along a little further.
What do you want to...
I don't know.
The plot is getting Baby Yoda character to the Jedi.
I know, for three straight plots. That has a chance. I'm ready to move on. I'm ready for Baby Yoda to
Once
get
again,
we're
Craig doesn't care about the journey. Get me to the destination. Do you remember
in Harry Met Sally, what did Billy Crystal's character do?
Watched her have a big O in a restaurant.
No. What was his, when little idiosyncrasy when they first met? What did he say he did? Yes, you do.
I don't remember. I really don't remember.
He would read the last chapter of the book first, in case he died. He would know the outcome.
Well, Chris is right, and I'm not going to say criticism, but his statement that about enjoying the journey, want to get to the destination. Yeah, I want to get to the destination. I want to see where Baby Yoda's going. I want to see what's happening, and let's get on with this.
I'll give you some advice. Stop watching until the final episode of the season.
And then binge watch the rest?
No, don't even watch those. You don't need those. That's the journey. We don't care about the journey. We care about the destination.
Did you watch The Sopranos at all?
No.
You didn't? Okay. Because you would have been really upset like I am.
That's why when
Don't Stop Believing comes on any station, I turn it off. Anybody know I love that song because of that. So if you had just watched the last episode of The Sopranos,
would I be good?
Have no clue.
Oh.
Zero clue.
See, I think I could jump right in.
No. He would get it.
No.
He would know everything.
I would jump right in. I would rely on all my mafia stereotypes that I've seen in the past from Martin Scorsese.
Nothing.
Sounds about right.
This is a lot different than that.
Sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot different than that. I think he was in one episode. Why can't you enjoy the journey? You know, like The Hobbit, the first Hobbit movie.
Yeah.
The unexpected journey.
I read the book.
It's a movie about the journey.
Yeah, the first part of it is, yeah. An unexpected journey, which
I look, I get the journey, but after three Friday nights, I'm ready to get somewhere. I like when we drive as a family. I don't like to drive more than 2 hours. I get bored. I want to get it over with.
Well, that I
want
to get.
I want to get to my destination.
Yeah. Okay. So Jedi's dad. Okay, everybody, we know now. Yes, we get it. Ahsoka is Anakin's Padawan from Clone Wars cartoon. Okay, get it. Okay.
All right.
If indeed that is going to be the person.
All right. And so, again, these are released at 3 in the morning on Friday. Is that it? Or 3:30 a.m.?
I don't know. I wake up at 6:30.
Chris, you were the one that told me. Is it available at 3:30 Friday morning-ish?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what, Craig? Set your alarm
I'm gonna watch
Friday.
It Friday. I'm going to spoiler alert it all.
Uh-huh.
I did that. I didn't do it. I watched it last Friday before the show. I didn't spoil anything.
No, really. My son and I got a little Friday night tradition brewing up where we sit in his room and we watch The Mandalorian on Friday nights.
Your wife doesn't watch?
No.
So my wife's into that.
No interest at all. None.
Does she like Star? She doesn't like Star Wars at all?
None of that. Doesn't care. I had to go watch those movies by myself in the theater.
Oh.
You watch a lot of movies by yourself.
I've done that.
Yeah, I do.
And nothing's bothered me.
I don't have a problem with that.
That's never bothered me to do that.
No, I enjoy it. I really do. I enjoy going to a theater, sitting down by yourself, big tub of popcorn.
Turning off the phone and just relax, shutting the world off.
You got your soda pop. You got your watermelon Sour Patch Kids.
Which I call bait watermelon.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Green Falcon, if you guys want to see the best, and I've heard this before, watch the two animated series. Yeah, the two series.
I gotta watch that. The problem is I'm so busy these days.
I saw the first season, and it was good. The timeline, the three movies weren't made yet. The last three movies weren't made yet.
Mm. Ray Romero says, yes, 3 a.m. is the release. Overruled says, I agree with Craig. The frog episode was too much filler.
It was not too much filler.
Well, that's their opinion. They can have the opinion.
I know, but
there are right opinions and wrong opinions, but they can have theirs.
Well, being that I'm right 96% of the time,
I don't know where your math checks out on that number.
Yeah, well, the worst one ever for you was watching episode 3 of season
6
of Game of Thrones and assuming that
and saying it didn't make sense. No bleep, Sherlock.
I didn't say it didn't
make
sense.
Why is it turning into a stone person?
I totally got the
gist. The grayscale. What's the grayscale? That's you.
That's not me. And I don't sound anything like that when I ask questions.
The scene in season 4, I think, when Peter Dinklage's character had never seen a dragon, and then they all got trapped in that looked like the Roman Colosseum, and all hell was about to break loose. It looked like everybody was going to die, and all of a sudden, she looks up, and here comes Drogon.
Oh,
what an emotional scene.
You want to talk about a disappointing ending to a series.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones.
And Peter Dinklage had to look up to see the dragon because he had to look up to see everything. Fact.
Yeah.
Well, he's not going to look down and see a dragon.
Everybody was looking up, regardless of size or sex
size matters.
Or gender or whatever creature. Everybody looked up. Fascinating. It was one of the greatest TV scenes ever.
Chris, are you flipping me off? Are you rubbing your eyes with your middle fingers? I've just got... Couldn't tell.
Where's Doug? Maybe Doug can call in and request Craig be removed from the program. I make one joke and people want me off the show. Craig is making that type of joke.
Pickup game of hoops. Did you talk about the whole Raiders defense going on to COVID? Yes, we did.
Just about 20 minutes ago.
Yes, we did.
They'll be fine.
Maybe.
Their offense.
They have to keep testing.
Last week it was their offense.
They're going to lose anyway to Kansas City. So.
Never mind.
Okay.
Never mind.
Let's play Wikipedia.
I don't know if I want to play with you anymore.
Take your ball and go home. Hold on. Where is my Wikipedia list? Oh, here it is. So, today in history... November 18th, 1987, Andre Dawson became the first ever MVP for a last place team. So we're going to do lovable losers in sports trivia. All right? It's going to be, we're going to bounce around a little bit. It's not going to be any one sport.
Yeah.
What we need now is caller number 9 at 239-337-ESPN. Here's the deal. Caller number 9 gets to compete against Pete in Wikipedia and win a $50 gift card to Felipe's Mexican Taqueria, offering tacos, bowls, burritos, plus their signature tequila. Caller number 9-239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Call now. Win $50 to Felipe's Taqueria with locations in Naples and Fort Myers Beach. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter, shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia.
All right, you know we have texter names. We have Mr. Know-It-All, but apparently we've got one that is called Fan of Mr. Know-It-All. He is on the phone. Caller number 9, Fan of Mr. Know-It-All. How are you?
Hey.
I'm doing great, guys.
Good, good. How old are you?
36.
36. All right. Today's topic, in honor of Andre Dawson becoming the first baseball MVP for a last-place team when he was with the Cubs in 1987, we're going to do lovable loser trivia here in sports, okay?
All right, I'll give it a try.
All right. First one of three correct answers is the winner. A fan of Mr. Know-It-All, your first question is, in 2007, the Patriots finished 16-0, but they couldn't close the deal with a championship. Who'd they lose to in the Super Bowl?
Giants.
That is correct. 1-0.
You sound like a Patriots fan.
Yeah, yeah. I swore a lot that night.
Yeah, how'd you like to be on the air for 3.5 hours afterwards taking phone calls from drunk people?
I wouldn't have made it.
It was the toughest night ever.
All right, you two Patriot guys want to get a room or we want to play a contest here? Let's go. All right.
Look at this stupid Indiana Hoosiers win 4 games and now he's...
Pete Shepard.
What?
Jack Nicklaus won 18 majors. How many times was he the runner-up in a major?
No idea. 10.
Mr. Fan of Mr. Know-It-All, you can steal if you can tell me. Jack Nicklaus won 18 majors. How many times was he the runner-up in a major?
7.
19. 19 times. Correct answer.
Couldn't close the deal, right, Craig?
Pretty much. All right.
Golden Bear, my butt.
Fan of Mr. Know-It-All. This Cubs shortstop hit 512 home runs on his way to the Hall of Fame, but he never won the World Series. Who was it?
Well, I'm not a baseball guy. I couldn't even tell you.
Give me a Cub. Give me an old-timey Cub.
I got nothing.
Let's play two. Ernie Banks.
Ernie Banks. All right, Pete Shepard. What athlete was stripped of his Olympic gold medal in 1988 after testing positive for steroids? He had just set the world record, by the way.
88?
88.
Not Carl Lewis.
No.
I forget.
Okay, that's it? Okay. Fan of Mr. Know-It-All. Who? What athlete was stripped of his Olympic medal in 88 after testing positive for steroids?
Well, I was 4, so. I'm not sure.
Ben Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Canadian, eh?
Who? Ben Johnson?
Ben Johnson was Canadian.
I thought he was American. He just... never mind. You got enough going on. Let's see here. Fan of Mr. Know-It-All. Name the only two teams to go 0-16 in the National Football League.
He is Canadian.
He's Jamaican-born Canadian.
Jamaican, eh?
Boom!
Another discrepancy.
That's okay. It didn't pertain to the question.
You said American.
It didn't matter.
It does matter.
It didn't matter. The question was, who had his Olympic medal?
Mr., as the moderator, can we please talk when it's our turns? Thank you very much.
All right.
Who are you talking to? Me?
You two. Mr. Fan and Mr. Know-It-All is trying to answer the question, and you two yahoos are doing your Muppets routine from the balcony.
Hurts.
All right. Well? Mr. Know-It-All, only two teams to go 0-16 in the NFL.
I want to say it was the Browns, right?
Yeah, yes, that's that. One. Yes.
Is it your team, Craig?
Yes, it is.
The Lions?
Yes.
I believe your team is not an official answer.
No, but he knew what he was talking
about. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. Good job.
2008 Lions, 2017 Browns, Mr. Know-It-All with a 2-0 lead. Pete Shepard, your question. Since 1944, there were three other NFL teams that went winless. Can you name two of them?
Since 1944?
So before the Browns and the Lions went 0-6, there were three other teams that went winless in the history of the NFL since 1944. Can you name two of them?
Tampa Bay and New Orleans.
Tampa Bay is one.
New Orleans just didn't go.
No.
Mm-mm. I don't think they went.
Fan of Mr. Know-It-All. Since 1944, three other teams other than the Browns and the Lions have gone winless. Name two of them. You know one's the Bucks. Can you give me the other one?
Damn it.
Shot in the dark. I'm going to say Cowboys? Or?
Yes! The 1960 Cowboys went 0-11-1. Fan of Mr. Know-It-All, you are a winner with a 3-0 shutout.
That is a complete guess.
Yep. Good job.
By the way, yes, the Bucs, and then the 1982 Baltimore Colts went 0-8-1.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right, congratulations, fan of Mr. Know-It-All.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right, thank you for listening. Thank you very much. All right, these next two are fairly easy. What team lost four straight Super Bowls in the 90s?
Buffalo Bills.
And
who was the first team to lose four straight Super Bowls?
The Vikings.
Yes.
Was it four straight or just four total?
No, just four total. For a team to lose four Super
Bowls. Right, yeah. And in 1916, the Cubs won the World Series. When was the last time they won?
What'd you say? What?
The Cubs won the World Series in 2016.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
Broke a long streak. When was the last time they
1914,
won?
I believe. No?
I had 1908.
Oh, no, you're right. It was 1908.
Okay.
Yep, you're right.
And 1907, both were against the Tigers.
Yep, 1908, you're right.
All righty, everybody. We made it through another episode there.
More controversy, though.
Very little. Mm-hmm. Very little. We're good.
You are the anti-Alex Trebek.
Wow. Well, somewhat hurtful.
He would have never let that question about Ben Johnson get on.
It didn't. It didn't pertain to the answer. Ben Johnson. The question was who had his Olympic medal in 1988 after testing positive.
If you
Ben Johnson,
Jamaican-born Canadian Olympic athlete, might have made a difference.
Probably not.
There's a 30 for 30 on him. Actually,
yeah,
yeah. He always wore
that's good.
Gold shoes.
Yeah.
So he set the world record in the 100 at like 9.9 or 87 or 97, something like that. Ridiculous. Then had it taken away. Expunged.
Yeah.
It wasn't wind aided. It was drug aided. All right. 5 o'clock hot takes by me. We got an NBA draft tonight. If you missed it earlier, some ridiculous comments by LaVar Ball regarding LaMelo Ball and his woman or bride to be, or whatever you want to call it. Plus, Pete Shepard is going to break down winners and losers if you bet $100, 100 Skittles on any particular NFL team.
On the money line, I'm going to give you the top 10 best and the top 10 worst.
Yes. All right. So we will do that. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.